This is Doug Robinson, who is who heads up, is the spokesman for NASIO, and he's going to mention, he's going to bring you the attention of where state and local governments, or where state governments are going with security. Doug?
Very good. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Greetings from the state CIOs. Apologize for, I know I was up at 1 p.m. slot, and thank you for juggling things. It's been an interesting day. I had a 6:30 flight to DCA, so is this being recorded and webcast and everything?
It's being webcast.
Okay, anybody? Let me say this. I'll say two things to you. Delta Airlines.
Okay.
So, wheels down at BWI at 1:35. So I got here pretty quickly. So I'm here today to really do a number of things, but really a quick overview of kind of the state of the state. So state priority trends in technology and issues around the state CIO we represent. The state CIOs, the basically the IT leaders of the states. The states and territories and the Tribunal are all members of NASIO and have been for many years. And we have all of those CIOs today are appointed by their governors, both the states and territorial governors. And so they are political appointees, and so that's one of the things we'll kind of talk about is sort of the landscape. So we could go ahead and go on. I'll kind of brief you at a high level about trends and activities and certainly cybersecurity concerns, and then talk a little bit about some of the data we have about identity and access management in the states and where we kind of see the states going into. So we want to go to the next slide.
Next slide.
Yeah. Do you mind to speak loudly?
So, huh?
Do you mind to speak loudly?
Okay. I'll be very slowly. Today's IT landscape, I think, is important to note that the states have come out of a great recession in the last 2 years, although certainly lagging some of the other sectors. Local governments, quite frankly, are even lagging the states. But right now we have, I would say, 45 or 46 states that are in very good fiscal shape. Some have robust reserves and have seen that grow. And so now we're in a real positive situation with the states in terms of their growth and their fiscal stability. That does not, however, obviate the need for state CIOs to continue to focus on cost control and cost efficiencies. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the things they're doing, but certainly the most obvious manifestation of that has been IT consolidation across the states for the last 3 or 4 years. A pretty aggressive approach to consolidating, certainly the physical assets that they have, moving toward applications, looking at enterprise suites, and in some states, even the organizational model and the people. So you have states like Utah that several years ago had 35 to 36 data centers, and now they have 2. So that's the kind of thing we're seeing in terms of tracking. The CIOs are still, like many in the public sector, balancing that legacy with the innovation. So they're still at 70-80% spend for the legacy environment. Many of those legacy systems are, in fact, federal programs executed by the states. When you think about those monolithic programs that involve eligibility and involve needy families and involve SNAP for food stamps, Medicaid, these are all, again, federally funded programs executed at the state level. They tend to be some of the largest legacy environments. You think of critical systems like unemployment insurance, average age in the U.S. 22 years old. So clearly in most states you do not want to be unemployed and have to file a claim electronically because they have some very aging environments. We're going to talk a little bit about cyber and certainly some of the risks, very similar to what's being done and being faced in the federal government. Definite early trends around states moving more to from a, what I call a system-centric to a services-centric world. In some states, they are still highly dependent on those systems. Part of that is because of the CIO business model, where in most states, it is 100% chargeback. So the state CIO model is that they receive funds only as an internal service bureau. They have no general fund appropriation or dollars. So they start out every July 1 with $0, and basically they're looking at revenue recovery. This has been kind of a challenge because of that business model, although we're certainly seeing more states, and probably the clearest evidence of this is really cloud services and software as a service. So I've got some data on that. And I think importantly in terms of the workforce and human capital, there's 3 or 4 major dimensions. One is continuing high retirements state over state. Several states last year, Oregon, California, and others, recorded record retirements for a number of reasons. Again, economy is recovering. IT workforce looking at opportunities in the private sector. Pension reform. Pension reform has really prompted people to rethink their status and get out of state government sooner rather than later, because they're concerned about their defined benefit plan and state pensions. Many states are doing pension reforms. We're seeing that lead. From the state CO perspective, they're finding it increasingly difficult to recruit to state government and to retain state government, and that's particularly the case in cybersecurity and security professionals. These are the most difficult positions to fill in state government, along with IT project management. So again, ties into some of the other dimensions. The state CEOs themselves, this is one of the reasons that my top skill set is making new friends fast with them, is we've had 49 new CIOs in the last 3 years. So 27-month tenure, and so 49 new CIOs since January of 2011. And in fact, we just had one, some of you know, our dear friend Sunny Bagwalia, who was with GSA and went to the state of Hawaii, and he just stepped down about a month ago. He's now working for the governor, but he's no longer CIO. So next, so that's kind of the landscape. So a few questions that we polled our audience in terms of the fiscal conditions in the state. We use automatic instant audience response polling in all our conferences. So again, I thought you'd find this interesting. So let's go ahead and see what the state CIO said about their fiscal budget for this year. 45% flat. That is good. Let me characterize that. 2011, it was 40% decreased by 10%. So again, based on this non-scientific evidence of the polling, we're seeing some movement here. We have good numbers from our colleagues at the State Budget Association, and they're seeing this as well. So again, some are showing a decrease, but most are either flat or getting a nominal increase. So things are moving ahead. So let's go to the next question we asked about a year ago about the percent of the state IT workforce eligible to retire in that year. So we looked at that year, 3 years, and 5 years. So the answer from the states is, again, a third said 20% of their state IT workforce eligible to retire. So we do have the silver tsunami going on. In most states, COBOL 74 can be a modern programming language, and so they've got a challenge backfilling with this. Yeah. And so what often happens is they are moving to third-party contractors to maintain that, or they're looking at moving, again, to a services model. We have several states that have simply outsourced their data center. Now, to others, that would be heresy, but they've made the decision that they need to move that out, and really, because they can't continue to support it. Mm-hmm. So again, that's kind of the environment we're seeing. Let's go next. So I'm going to cover a few topics, but I'm going to start out with what we do every year, which is kind of take the pulse of the state CIOs through our top 10. This is a David Letterman top 10. We've been doing it for almost a decade. We compare and contrast what Gartner does globally with their CIOs, and so we ask our CIOs, kind of with a forced choice methodology, to rank, from their perspective, their top 10 strategic items for the next year, the forecast ahead. So if we move next, you'll see our 2014 ranking. This came out in November. We'd asked them to say, what are you going to focus on? We then homogenize this for the national view. So again, our disclaimer that this may not represent 8 individual state CIOs ranking, and their mileage may vary, but I will tell you, to a person, cybersecurity is clearly number one on the list this year. It's been on the list for 10 years. It was number one, I think, back in 2005 and 2006. I attribute part of that to what we've called the SCE, which is the South Carolina effect. You know, the largest data breach in any state, massive release of 3.6 million taxpayer records, theft by criminal outside foreign interests. That data is up for sale, and the state is at about $30 million in counting in terms of their cost to that. The reason I say that is, for the first time, a data breach and a cybersecurity incident became a political liability, and certainly the other governors went beyond thinking this was interesting to thinking this is pretty important stuff, and I don't want to be on the front page of the paper. So security number one, we will obviously be talking a lot and have this year on security. Things in the other category simply moved around and migrated. A couple dropped off the list. You'll see this, particularly the Nationwide Public Safety Broadband Network, the federal initiative funded passage in 2012, and then of course the establishment of FirstNet, the FirstNet Authority, to roll out 4G wireless across the country for public safety use and first responder use. This is actually led by the states based on the legislation. The states are the lead. So this is very important to the CIOs. The other item I think is interesting is project and portfolio management, which NASIO has talked about for many years, and a lot of briefs, a lot of research, advocating the increased use of business disciplines, enterprise architecture, investment management, project and portfolio management. In fact, wasn't even in the top 15 for several years. And I think, again, evidence of large project failures and some other more visible things that may have taken place around here, because this survey was done in mid-October. So there's probably some bias around large project notorieties, and so that rocketed right up. I'll give you some evidence of what states are doing in that space and their perspective with some of our data. So let's move to next. Part B, and I'm only going to spend a minute on this, is we also asked them to dive down into their solutions, their tools. So basically, what are their strategic areas? What are they talking to their governor or legislature about? And then certainly, what are they going to invest in? And virtualization was number one for five straight years. That positioned them, I think, for private cloud services, kind of rationalizing and optimizing their environment, particularly servers. And again, this is the view of the enterprise CIO, not the individual agency. So they may have a different perspective. Cloud certainly was in the top tier for several years. But you can see this would probably resonate with many of you who have to work in the public or private space and execute on this. Identity and access management, and I pointed this out, I think, the last time I was here 2-3 years ago, has been on the list for 10 years. It was number 5 at one point. And business intelligence, the BIBA, and analytics has been on the list as well. I will characterize this in states as we have significant knowing-doing gap here from the old Harvard Business School between what they really would like to do, their aspirations around particularly enterprise IAM and identity management solutions, and what they're able to execute. And we'll talk about that with some data we have when I close. So again, this is their solution priority stack, and it moves around, but it hasn't changed. Mobility and the emerging technologies have simply bubbled up at the top over the last 2 or 3 years. Okay, next, let's look at our survey. So I'm gonna talk a little bit about this report, which you can feel free to download from our website, nasio.org, which is our State CIO Survey 2013. We released this in October of 2013. Every year, in collaboration with Tech America and our friends at Grant Thornton, we do a national survey of state CIOs. A deep set of questions, or a lot of questions. They don't like taking the time to do that, but I infuriate them by constant badgering until we have a tremendous, I think, extraordinary response rate. We had 54 out of our 55 members complete the survey. So 54 out of 55 gave us a complete set of data, and so I'm going to give you snapshots of that data today. But there's kind of an executive summary, and I think the clear message, and that's why it's titled The Enterprise Imperative, is this increasing view of the state CIO that they need enterprise visibility. They need to really work at this, not in the silos of the lines of business. And similarly, no different than a lot of other large organizations. You have those dynamics that take place. So they're looking at governance. They're looking at portfolio management at the enterprise level. They're looking at investment management. But really what they want to really strengthen is the overall decision-making capabilities at, again, that enterprise level. And some have been able to do that with very broad constructs. Cybersecurity is certainly one that requires that kind of collaboration. And again, we're seeing an increase in the sourcing models to manage services and outsource services. And so I'd be glad to share some information on that. Most importantly, I think, if you look at where they're very dissatisfied, it's with IT procurement. No surprise. And this is fairly consistent data. We've got pretty much the same data that about 50% of the CIOs are either highly dissatisfied or dissatisfied. So you know that something's going on when you've got that kind of balance in the Likert scale, where more than half of the respondents are dissatisfied with this particular business process. And so you'll see some data in there on the report. But again, you can download this report right off the NASIO website, complimentary copy. If you go to the next one, we'll talk about a couple of these items then to wrap up. So these are the elements that we're looking at in terms of governance, and this is what we're finding in the states, is certainly more adoption of this enterprise architecture, business technology, data, Probably less on the data than the other dimensions, but certainly there are many states, you know, have a robust enterprise architecture tied into their investment management ideas. Some states have investment management or investment boards around technology. And again, they're all moving into adopting other service management disciplines and other methodologies to strengthen that, because they are trying to really move towards, you know, kind of the business, IT as a business portfolio, more than simply the boxes and wires. And I think that's important to see. And again, we're seeing a lot of discussion around that in terms of business transformation. So this all obviously lends itself to discussions around, you know, enterprise identity management, where we're seeing some gaps there, and I think we can talk about that. So next, let's look at a couple of these questions. So we asked a question on IT project and portfolio management to kind of tie these two together. Again, do you have it? Does it exist? And again, you can see that two-thirds...
Exiting.
Huh? 63% said... I thought that was a tough question. I missed it. 63%, you know, two-thirds of them said they have it. But what's interesting, again, if you look at their practices, only half said it's somewhat effective, not surprising. So we've got this constant dynamic going on. There's some tension, perhaps, between the oversight role. Many state CIOs have strong authority in their statutes that allow them, in terms of have that broad enterprise. They have a PMO function, but it often doesn't sync with large state projects, you know, multi-million dollar activities. And you can certainly see this played out in the media over the last few months with the 14 states that made a decision to launch their own health insurance exchanges. And, you know, many of those had the same challenges, and that was really tied around really executive sponsorship, leadership, you know, project management issues related to that, contractor, vendor relationship management. All these things were evident, but certainly they've only found those to be less desirable in that particular case. So let's go to the next set of questions here around cybersecurity. So again, this is number one on the list, but I wanted to kind of jump around here and look at some of the cybersecurity questions we have. So we asked the CIOs about their current status of their environment. And again, you can see some of the responses there about where they are. And I wouldn't call this as much of a maturity model as just looking for indicators of where they are today. They obviously have, in some many cases, broader programs, but they continue to see this as a major risk area, and not surprisingly, and they want to address this. And this is something now that's getting some nominal attention in the governor's office and with essentially the board of directors, the cabinet. So I don't think it has as much in the private sector, but that's certainly... they're certainly moving there. So you can see some of these things where they are traction. They can, again, see some gaps. They're not doing as much monitoring and measuring as they probably should, and I think they realize that. They don't have a very robust cyber disruption response plan. I think that's one of the challenges, is they don't know how to not only coordinate with other sectors, but also to communicate. We've seen that during some of these incidents, as communication about the incident was relatively ineffective or was poor. So again, they're adopting frameworks. We're going to hear more about this, obviously, over the next couple of days. I'll be speaking tomorrow about the promotion of the NIST Cybersecurity Framework 1.0 and really how the states have looked at that. There's some great opportunities. So let's look at the next question around cyber, and that is really what's the barrier? What are the challenges around advancing? This is very similar to what our state Chief Information Security Officer said a year ago, or 2 years ago in 2012, which was their major barrier was funding, the lack of funding to advance. And I think it was clear based on our evidence, the states are spending between 1% and 2% of their total IT spend on cyber, totally inadequate. When you look at comparing them, they are repositories of tremendous amounts of PII and PHI. And what the bad guys want in states are the data. There's critical infrastructure, but they really want the data, because the states are the nexus of all your data. For all of you, obviously, residents of states, you have a driver's license, you have a cradle-to-grave relationship with the state around your identity, identity proofing, identity documents, and the state is really the repository of that. And, of course, and they have all these other programs where they have personally identifiable information in store, generally proliferating, and duplicated and inconsistent, but again, they're hosting that, and so they are great targets, particularly in the health area, particularly in the revenue and tax area. We've seen that. So this is clearly a challenge as that being a great target.
as the financial services industry and others begin to strengthen, harden, and spend 2 to 3 times as much based on the data we have, states are still, we expect to see, spending 1 to 2% out of that total IT spend, where they need to be at least spending 5% or more on that, and that's going to be a challenge. And of course, I mentioned that the challenge around the workforce, and you can see from the CIO perspective, that was number three, is an inadequate availability, not being able to train that. And once they do get them in the state, they tend to stay 2-3 years, and then they get certified and they jump off. So these are some of the challenges that we see. And part of that is really, again, education around building a culture of security awareness and understanding that within state government. So again, cybersecurity is getting a lot of attention and certainly will continue to get attention in the states. I want to just provide one last item, which is really on the policy side, but it's very, very important because it's the first kind of articulation from the leaders of the National Governors Association and the leaders of the states, the governors, and that's around what their call to action that they issued in September 2013. We're working with them on this National NGA Cyber Resource Advisory Council, and really its purpose is to, again, raise this issue, make it much more visible across the enterprise of the executive branch anyway, and get the governors to kind of really think about this. So we want to get some traction on a number of these areas, and they relate to, again, some of the evidence that we have worked on with our surveys with the CIOs and some of our research, where they need to go. So again, that's going to be an important part of where states invest their dollars in the future. And I think certainly looking at the last several years, they may have spent some of their dollars ineffectively when they probably could have targeted 4 or 5 major vectors and done a little bit better job. So again, let's go to the next topic here quickly, which is around consolidation. I mentioned this, but I bring this just because, again, this does dovetail into the questions around enterprise identity management as a service. As you're consolidating the physical assets, the states are also looking at consolidating services, consolidating applications, and in some cases, states are actually consolidating the individual workforce. So we have a number of states where all of the IT personnel report, they're all badged under the CIO. So they work in individual agencies, but they essentially all report through central IT. So they're not working for that individual health and human services, labor, law enforcement, et cetera. They're all working under the CIO and the board. These are some of the things that they've been doing. So let's look at some of the data just very, very quickly. The next question, set of questions here, we go to the next slide. And you can see, again, from our 13th survey, kind of detailed here, but this shows you, we asked questions around where are they done and where are they ongoing, where are they planned for some of these areas. You can see a couple of them highlighted. We've seen some pretty good jumps, but we are seeing, again, ongoing. I think every state is looking to consolidate data centers, to consolidate their physical assets. Half the states have moved and consolidated their email environment to one enterprise email solution for all of the executive branch. So again, you can see some of the data we have about that space. So if you move to the next one, this is just a pull out of that. We did an additional report almost a year ago where we asked detailed questions about where states were, because this was a hot topic for CIOs. And again, you can see I'm almost split where they are with enterprise email consolidation. Again, I'm talking about an N of one, where states, and one state I know had 42 different email systems in the executive branch. 4 different platforms, 42 systems spread out. And again, you're seeing this what I call kind of the melding of the Indian tribal nations into these services. Now, what's happened here, it's interesting, is today, and certainly in the last couple of years, most of the states are leapfrogging the on-premise kind of exchange or other platform as an example. They're leaping that and going to the cloud. So we have many, many examples of now where the states, as we've seen in the federal government and federal agencies, just moving to cloud services for their email. Some on-premise and private, some off-premise third-party hosting. So it's a variety of models, but I think certainly in the future, states are simply not, they're going to be just moving away from providing this. So it'll be a service, but it won't be one that they provision under the CIO's office, and that's certainly a major change. And again, there's lots of discussions here about directory services and identity management within this space, because that tends to be a sweet spot for a lot of the states. Next. So let's talk a little bit about kind of technology as a service in terms of just the service activities going on in the states, and we're seeing early evidence of this and movement toward that technology as a service idea. The clearest, again, articulation of that is cloud and cloud services, predominantly around private clouds for now, but other states are moving in other areas. This for states, this creates political tension as well, because there may be tremendous opportunities to utilize an off-premise cloud service that's perhaps sitting here in Northern Virginia. But again, from a political standpoint, that makes for difficult conversations when, again, elected officials find out that state citizens' information is sitting in a cloud repository, you know, somewhere five states away. So this is where states have to really be careful about looking at their current regulations, their current constraints. There are a number of states that have prohibitions, constitutional regulatory prohibitions, about their citizens' information being residing in any other state. It has to remain in the borders. So again, that's challenges in terms of negotiation. But there's no doubt that we're seeing this traction. We're seeing the movement of the spend. But again, it's challenging because they have to kind of work within the business models. But they understand the business drivers. They understand some of the technology benefits of doing that. And so I think that's something, again, around even identity, is how that is going to be provisioned in the future. Could that be a managed service provider, depending on what they want? And that'll be something, particularly, that they'll have to deal with. So let's look at some of the data around this. We have some longitudinal data. If we go to the next slide, we'll see the question we've asked, and actually we've asked this for 4 years, is where are you in terms of cloud? Four major kind of areas. And you can see some double digit, and we continue to see this where they have some applications. We've gone from, I think, 42% and continue to move up. And I suspect if we did it now, we'd see that even a snapshot today higher. We have a number of states, Illinois, Michigan, Delaware, others, that have taken on a cloud first strategy many years ago. So that's their first movement. And they may have hundreds of applications in the cloud. Others are obviously moved to software as a service in a cloud environment, but they're all looking at different models. And again, one size doesn't fit all with the state, so they have to kind of look at that. But I'm not sure about this number, other than it may be an anomaly because we have so many new CIOs answering the same set of questions, so it can't be controlled by the cohort. The longitudinal data, it is what it is. I think there were 24 new CIOs that answered the survey that were not around in 2012, so that's how dynamic this takes place. So if we could move to the next one, and again, just a quick snapshot of where are they investing in terms of moving to the cloud, not surprising, email storage. There's a cloud consortium for GIS, DR, BC. We have states that are now doing multi-jurisdictional collaboration. So states that are talking about, we have a couple of states that where they're basically backing up their email to another state's cloud environment. So they're doing cross-state collaboration, which certainly we like to see. So again, you get more details on this in the survey. So we could move kind of the next slide. Let's look at some of the areas that we've worked on. We've released actually a five-part series on capitals in the cloud, where we've tried to guide the states in a variety of areas. And again, you can see that a number of these are not technical. There's not as much technical concern about cloud environment as there is around jurisdictional issues. Contracting is problematic. It really is in the states, because there's no real vehicle to move to this environment. There's the fundamental kind of fixed asset acquisition process. And so we certainly, and have been since early on, been working with GSA about FedRAMP. We have some states that are taking advantage of that. So we like to see that. There's also some cooperative procurement arrangements that have put cloud services like WSCA on their contract, and we like to see them use that. But again, a lot of the challenges around cloud in the states have to do with the business issues, the legal issues. I know some of these contracts, they get a few lawyers in the room to talk about a cloud provisioning contract, and if they're 12 months later and they still haven't signed the deal. And it's really not about the technology issues, it's around the terms and conditions and some of the other policy and legal issues. So this is something states are going to have to continue to wrestle with. So if you go to the next, we'll kind of wrap up in terms of, again, just the evidence of that from some of the data. You can see that growing. So because they don't have that seamless or easy path to get to that, they're looking for using vehicles like FedRAMP or using multi-jurisdictional. So again, you can see this data in the survey report. So let's look at the the final couple of topics here. One, I think, is very important to the CIOs, and it continues to grow dramatically, is just kind of the mobile space, mobility, mobile services, both for the mobile workforce, for state employees, for employees on the go, and also for citizens. And there are a number of things going on there. One is the discussion around, obviously, mobile services internally, and some states are widely deployed and have really kind of capitalized on the capabilities. Others are still a little bit risky. They think there's some challenges around security. There's discussions around BYOD. So these are some conversations just like that take place in any organization. But as you can see from the state CIO perspective, you know, they see mobility in their strategic agendas on their critical path as being either essential or very, very important in terms of a high priority. So a very large number. That's fairly consistent for the last couple of years. So I think the challenge here is another one of the gap between our aspirations and, again, dealing with this lack of an enterprise view. So we can look at the next set of data. These are some of the things, obviously, that are, I think, common across a lot of organizations, but particularly public sector organizations, that they need to address and wrestle a number of these topics to the ground. So what's their architectural approach? You know, many cases, this is typical. We have technology deployment and adoption within an organization. Absent policy. Policy is racing to keep up with the proliferation of consumer-based devices, and the states are trying to figure out how to get it back. And so do you block it immediately, or do you deal with it through some kind of BYOD policy? So a little over half the states have an enterprise policy. So they've got to deal with all these things, particularly making decisions about the external view. And we see this in terms of the development of mobile apps. So are they going to go native mobile? Are they going to do mixed? Are they going to go pure, you know, HTML5 and responsive design on the website? And they've got to be careful, because some states have really put a lot of their eggs in a basket of we want native mobile apps because it generates the cool factor for states. So you have states that are doing a lot of mobile apps in their agencies. And there are, you know, really California report a pest. So great idea, crowdsourcing. You see a bug, have your phone, you take a photo, use the app, you report the pest, it goes to the Department of Agriculture. These are some of the things that they're doing out there and have been doing. Arkansas, surprising enough, is one of our leaders in terms of a lot of mobile apps. They see very high adoption rate. Anybody here have a relative, kin, friend incarcerated in Arkansas, in prisons in Arkansas? I don't know if anybody admitted, but they have a really cool app. But I think puts a lot of pressure as a visitor or as a relative or a spouse, because they have a mobile app that allows you to put money electronically into what they call the inmate deposit account. You all know that they have, prisoners have deposit accounts where they can use money to buy things at the commissary in the prison, and it allows you to just. So I think, you know, unless they confiscate your iPhone when you come in, there's a lot of pressure to immediately say, well, I need some money. You can move that money. So they're trying to respond to the immediacy. And what they're seeing, which is interesting, is a dramatic adoption rate above traditional online services. So they're seeing, you know, fairly significant downloads. But then they've got to be concerned about, you know, is it sustainable in the future? Huge issue here is I only know of one state that actually has mobile app developers in the state as a state employee. So again, all this work is being done by third-party contractors.
Hey, Doug, yes, Tom. Have you heard that thing with their access control and with their visitor privilege systems?
Not to my knowledge, but I'll bring that up. So yeah, they can.
Some states are really looking at.
We have states that are doing RFID and barcode stuff for prisoners, but I don't know about access control.
You have this interplay between guests who are supposed to be anonymous. Mm-hmm. You have the investigative side that this ties into, but also the corrective side as far as the reward and punishment of access to guests and the coordination with the guests during visit time. So it's been interesting to see that's evolving quickly.
Okay. Yeah, I'll ask about that because I've heard that come up. So anyway, these are some of the challenges. So let's look at a couple of the data points here, and I think this is the most important one. And so my point about, so they see it as strategic, essential, and a high priority, overall in percentage. And more than three-quarters of the CIOs see that. But you can see they represent the fact that the reality on the ground is that they have the lack of kind of the enterprise control, and that most of the projects they're doing are not really synchronized. They're relatively uncoordinated, and I suspect this is the challenge they face because the agencies that are under their purview are racing and really want to get this stuff out there. So they're not asking questions. Again, there may be security issues, there may be access issues, there may be a host of others, design issues and things like that. So if they can get it in the iTunes store or the marketplace or whatever, it gets approved, then it could be out the door before anybody knows it. So this is what they're really working on, is how to wrap their arms around that and have a policy framework about their birth of direction. So mobility is, again, an important construct with the tremendous growth as well. So let's talk a little bit about our topic of the day in terms of the states and really identity and access management. So we, in the survey, we were able to come back to this. We had not asked this in 2012. So 2013, I wanted to make sure we got some questions in there. So again, we asked a kind of a current snapshot, a current as-is of their identity and access management. Again, you can look at an enterprise model fully implemented in the executive branch. Okay, so that represents, given our cohort, that represents about four states, so it's not very many. It doesn't surprise me at all. And by IAM, we weren't asking them to pick a particular technology, we're just asking in general, and I suspect most of these probably are, we're talking about some kind of single sign-on or some kind of employee-based authentication, access control capabilities. Many of them are moving in that direction simply for the application side. Some are beginning to tie in the physical, logical, but not very many. And certainly there are a few that obviously, there are PIV iCards that have been deployed in the state, but very, very few. And we, of course, we have the FRAC component as well. So what in terms of our respondents, what they know about what's going on in that space, I don't really know, but you can see it's relatively low. And so partial implementation, we still have almost a quarter that are still investigating. So let's kind of get to the most of it's still decentralized, is being done at all. So let's go to the next question. You can see we asked a specific question about their desired state of extending it, particularly to constituents, citizens and businesses, to authenticate themselves to state service, because they're doing millions of transactions really every month in some of these spaces. And again, you can see that only a very small number, a quarter, have it, but as a standalone capability. So they may have it tied to their portal, but it's not federated, it's not integrated, and essentially a siloed, again, it's a siloed identity management. That's what we see today really in the states, where they have any kind of identity management solution and already kind of architecture, it's siloed within particular agencies. And so I think, again, we're trying to try to deal with that by promoting, again, a more federated, interfederated approach, looking at various solutions and non-proprietary. So we continue to preach the gospel around that approach. And not surprisingly, we asked them, the second part of that question is, what are the major barriers? And again, it gets down to their current environment, certainly looking at the cost situation, the complexity of their current set. So a lack of governance is an issue. I think the fact that in the case of I think IAM and in certain other areas, I characterize this as with the tension between perhaps this enterprise need and aspiration and the agency's daily business requirements, it kind of gets to the you're not the boss of me discussion. Is that we've got this and we're not really necessarily interested in kind of optimizing for the enterprise of state government. We've got to do this and we're just going to stay. And it may be a proprietary solution that is closed loop, but it works, and they're very concerned about breaking it and going to something which perhaps would provide them for more integration across the line of services. Ideally, when you look at the relationship between the federal government and the states, and certainly Tony and I have talked about this for a number of years, the challenge is we don't have any harmonization in terms of that direction from federal programs. If you look at the number, it's over $600 billion a year of grants and aids that go to states to run federal programs. And so those are simply coming down with, again, these verticals, and so it's not seen as a horizontal environment within the state government. It's definitely seen as these programmatic channels. So it's going to take some time to kind of move off that. So if we could, let's look at the last couple of things here, move to the next slide. I think, we continue to preach about, CIOs recognize this, they recognize the need, but they have significant challenges, particularly on their authority. A significant big project may come along, it gives them the leverage. A new HR environment can probably help them in terms of moving to that, but these are just kind of, again, these statements that we want to look at in terms of where states have done, and I think there's some good examples that I can talk about with the NSTIC pilots, where they're taking what are the strengths of business processes and domain expertise within the states. One of those is proofing, individual face-to-face proofing in the DL environment. And so that's something, how do we capture that and use it for perhaps the whole life cycle process of identities, particularly external identities of citizens that have that are issued a driver's license. So, and we want to definitely be able to use that credential across multiple activities within state government. But again, we've got to get the agencies to buy off. So we want to, you know, certainly promote open standards and interoperability. And, you know, the federation of identities is important, but more important to us, I think, the future state is kind of the interfederation of identities. So we need to get to that point where, you know, regardless of that particular credential, that it's going to be able to use in multiple opportunities for particularly citizens, because they'll get frustrated very quickly. So if we go to the next one, so one of the things that many of you are aware of that NASIO did over 2 years ago now is we took a group, we looked at the FICAM, we took a group and said what we need is SICAM. So this is SICAM V1. It still has some gaps in it, but it was our attempt to try to get something out there to provide an architectural roadmap for the states. We've been working with our enterprise architecture group for years, and we've got we actually went to version, I think, 3.5 or 6 on our enterprise architecture toolkit for the states. We felt like this fit into that. We've done one for cybersecurity, and we felt we really needed this. And so kind of there's an outline of what's included in the SICAM. And again, it's guidance, and it's a framework for the states. It needs a lot of work to kind of flesh out. We need use cases. We need a lot of effort in there. But again, this was our kind of collective effort to do that with volunteers, with staff and volunteers, to pull this together for states, because we could see that they need some building blocks, they need some foundations on that. In addition, then a number of national webinars over the last several years, and I think the challenge with the states, and again, not only do you have this legacy workforce and these folks that have this knowledge, we had some of our key folks who worked on the SICAM, within a year, all but one of them were already out of state government, so we have that loss of intellectual capital and we don't have knowledge to transfer. And the fact that I'm talking to CIOs all the time about this, it's a never-ending story because they're cycling through every 2 years. So everything old is new again. And so we have to go back to square one and kind of, again, give them the requirements around this. So SICAM is something, obviously, and we're looking at, hopefully in the next year, spending more time in versioning that up and cleaning it up. So finally, let me give you some thoughts about some current trends, and those certainly that tie into kind of the identity management space. With the revenues and the current fiscal conditions in the states being better, long term, there's still states that have structural imbalances. If you look at 5 years, continuing problems because you have tax rollbacks and other things. States rely a lot, obviously, on the states that have an income tax. They rely on personal property tax, things that can have a tremendous impact from just one little hiccup in the economy. Obviously, they hit the states. The states must pass a balanced budget. They must stick to it. So what states do, they obviously can't run up deficits. They can't print money. And so they begin to just cut their budgets, and they cut back into services. And so that's the, you know, kind of the mode. But so we're going to see continued optimization, rationalization. You know, as I say I have a Jeopardy game for CIOs. It's called words that end in T-I-O-N. So you can think of all of those, integration, standardization, optimization, that's what they talk about. That's kind of their marching orders. Then they're going to be looking at these innovations, how we can deliver services in the cloud, how can we move to services-centric, how can we particularly move to mobile platforms, and so you're going to see more and more of that. And that's going to enable, I think, some of the transformation that may take place in states around some of these areas. So what we're working on is obviously how does this all fit into this kind of overall environment. We're working with under an NSTIC a pilot with the states. We have three right now. One I think is really interesting is in Virginia. Commonwealth Virginia is a three-part a party with the CIO and Health and Human Services and DMV, and it's basically identity as a service. How do you deliver this from the enterprise level? So we're obviously tracking that. And the lead with DMV, that's very interesting. And then both Michigan and Pennsylvania also have NSTIC grants to work on identity management pilots. So we're going to follow those innovations. We're also working with Georgia Tech with GTRI on the NEIF GFIPM side for law enforcement and trying to look for a broader application of the whole area of how do you onboard and do that very, very quickly in a federated identity environment. Again, you know, and so we're looking at it could be at PIVI, it could be any number of artifacts out there because we're looking at multiple opportunities there in terms of that. And so I think we're going to hopefully see that driven by a couple of other drivers. One may be FirstNet. So if you're familiar with that, obviously with the state, the nationwide public safety broadband network, one of the requirements, they put an RFI out a couple of months ago, one of the things that they're going to require is an identity management infrastructure for literally hundreds of thousands of handsets that are basically 4G capable, glorified mobile devices with lots of applications, but you're going to have to be very confident that the person that has that phone has some kind of authentication to access control to use that device because they're first responders. So we're moving away from, certainly over the course of the next several years, these are data-intensive devices today, will continue to be that, and moving to voice probably. So the push-to-talk radio network, the voice network, will still be there for a while, but certainly accessing data will be important. So these are some of the things we're looking at. I think following the NSTIC pilots is really important for us to see what's going on because that's that identity ecosystem in the future, and that's what states need because they are so diverse and complex about what they're doing. So we're there. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Questions? At the end of the day, I'm hitting you're hitting that carb thing, you know. So I had that interval right after lunch, but at the end of the day, so I appreciate that. I apologize for my delay, but I'm glad you're able to be here, and I could make it here to at least give you an overview of what the states are doing. And I guess you'll have these slides if you need it, or go again our website. We have very little of our product and content and research that is not ubiquitously available. So I don't believe in constraining everything to members only. So you can go out there and get any of our research reports and any of our survey data and any of our survey reports. Both the cybersecurity report, the survey, I should say, for 2014 and the CIO survey for 2014, those will be done and available early fall 14. So both those will be in the field very shortly. So that'll give you, two more current data sets to look at in terms of some of these other issues.
So, very good. Thank you very
Thanks.
Much.
Thank you all Appreciate for your attention, Seth.
Tony asked me to wrap up. He had to leave early, so I'm going to try. Oh, you guys! Did you get all that? So he said that he's obviously every couple of months he's going to do this again, and there's an awful lot of things talked about today, much of which in the past has just been rhetoric or thinking of the future. We're actually doing something right now, and we're going to do a lot more, and NIST has been of great assistance in that because they're pumping out standards very quickly to try to keep up with the evolution of the technology, and that's a hard thing to do. So I thank you all for coming, and look for another one of these in about 60 to 90 days.